happen, all right? Oh, man. Yeah, there you see it. It's not as bad as it seems, all right? I'm not real good at telling jokes. And the reason, for one, I got a bunch of dad jokes that I guess are not funny anymore. But I'm not good at telling jokes because I'm very hyperactive, if you couldn't tell. And to tell a good joke, you actually have to set it up, right? You know, you got to set it up and then the punchline and everybody laughs. I would just soon tell you the punchline and we laugh, okay? Let's just skip all the whole process of getting there. Let's just laugh. And so, but this morning I got to take you on a journey, okay, with this story. Are you ready to go with me? Can you hang around for a few moments and go on this journey with me? I was, Carrie Kardatsky, you guys see actually Pastor Joe, you see myself, some of the other staff, but really this church wouldn't run if it wasn't for Carrie Kardatsky, to be honest about it. Yes, that's a true story. And she didn't pay me to say that, but she's going to kill me tomorrow. But I was telling her, she asked me, she said, what's the theme of your message on Sunday? And I told her it's not as bad as it seems. And she had this look on her face like, all right. So then we're out in the hallway out here, and I was kind of like stressing. You know, anybody stress? Okay, come on, don't leave me up here alone to stress. I was like, I got to do this. She's like, Pastor Mark, it's not as bad as it seems. So she's already wearing me out on my own message. But I want to talk about something this morning that affects all of us, has affected all of us, or I got some really good news for you. It will affect all of us. I know that's exciting. Discouragement, depression, anxiety, forsaken, being forsaken. This story we find in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. Jesus is telling this story, and let me just read a couple of verses for you, and then if you'll stay with me, we'll unpack it together and try to gather some truths that'll help us live in this day for Christ. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on his way down, he fell among robbers, and they stripped him, they wounded him, and they departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and he saw him laying there, wounded, stripped, half dead, and he went on the other side. And then in a few moments, along came a Levite. And this Levite looked down, and he saw this man, saw his condition, and he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he was journeying down the road, he came to where this man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, and he poured in oil and wine, and then he sat him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn. And he took care of him. Here we have the picture of a man that is truly a victim. He has had things happen to him that he did not invite. He cannot control. He did not want. He is a victim. Now, in our day, we have a lot of people that play the victim card. I got one at home. His name is Brady. I mean, it's everything. God love him. He is. My wife will say, Brady, you are not a victim. But some people will play the victim card. His older sister, that's the culprit, just in case you're wondering. They play the victim card, but they're not really a victim at all. They're actually suffering the consequences of poor choices. But this man is truly a victim. He has been beaten. This is more than just a black eye or a bloody lip or a busted nose or some bruises on his body. When it talks about this man has been wounded, he is actually cut all the way to the bone. This is a wound. This is actually a mortal wound that's left upon this man. These are not scratches or anything of that sort. This is a deep, mortal wound that is left upon this man's body. Matter of fact, the scripture says they left him half dead. Of course, you know, if you get beat half to death two times, anyways, you figure that out. That's a little bit over my head. He's laying there half dead. He has been beaten. He obviously has been robbed. What do thieves do? They take from you, right? They have taken from this man every earthly possession that he had with him. They have robbed him. They have wounded him. And I understand the typology, and if you've hung around church at all, you've probably heard sermons preached along these lines, and they'll use things like this: well, the man went down the wrong road, or he went down the road at the wrong time, or he went down the road alone. All of those may have their point, and I'm not here to debate that they were wrong in preaching that, but if we just take it at face value, this man was just going down the road of life. If he was doing something wrong, so was the priest, so was the Levite, and so was the Good Samaritan. This man was just journeying on his way from one spot to the next, and all of a sudden he falls prey and becomes a victim to uncontrollable circumstances. They wound this man. They beat this man. And I don't want to be graphic, but I think you got to get a hold of this picture here. They took this man's clothes from him. They violated him. It says they stripped him. They've taken all of his possessions. They've mortally wounded him. Now they have left him embarrassed and violated, laying on the side of the road to die. You talk about a picture of complete helplessness. This fella's in a bad spot. Now, again, I told you I'm not real good with punchlines. I'm glad that the story of this man doesn't end with him laying half dead on the side of the road. Years ago on the radio, there used to be this guy called Paul Harvey. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, thank you. We were big radio people growing up, but old Paul Harvey, he would say page two. Huh? The rest of the story. Man, I'm glad it doesn't end with him laying in the ditch. I'm glad there's another story, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm glad there's another story in your life. There's another part, another chapter. So this man is laying there. He is stripped of his dignity. All of his possessions are gone. He is wounded, and he's left to die. And could you imagine as he's laying there, and his eyes are no doubt probably starting to swell shut, and he hears some movement, and he kind of looks, and he sees this priest coming. And he's like, oh, this is good. I'm going to get some help. But lo and behold, as the priest approaches, he looks upon the man, and he says, ooh, okay, we'll just slide on this side. Now can you imagine this man laying there? Now not only is his eyes swelling shut, and the blood's coming down, and he's laying there violated, and now he's crying. And he looks through the blood and the tears, and he looks and he sees someone else coming his way, and he says, surely this Levite, this religious person, is going to help me. And when he looks upon him, he passes by on the other side. Now, I'd venture to say, if the devil was back then like he is now, could you imagine what the devil was telling this man? You know, this man doesn't have a name, so can we name him? Bubba. How's that? Does that work? So I told you, Bubba, no one cares about you. The church people don't care about you. Your friends, they don't care about you. Listen, Bubba, God don't even care about you. How do you say that? You know that, preacher, because there's been a couple times in life I've been in the ditch. Can I just testify for a moment? I remember when I was in Bible college studying to preach, and I still need to study, by the way, but I was there, where I come from, there wasn't no silver spoons, you know, around. It wasn't much luxury. We were poor, my dad bought this $300 truck, Ford truck, that needed a lot of help. Matter of fact, the distributor cap was broke, so I took some zip ties, and I zip tied the distributor cap back down on there so it'd run. And I'm driving up 146th Street down in Westfield Carmel. You know, that's a very affluent area. And my truck broke down on me right in the middle of the road, so I coast off to the side. And I'm sitting there. And the devil climbed up in the truck with me. That's why you shouldn't drive a Ford. I made that up. The devil climbed up in that truck with me, and he began to say, look at you, Mark. What serving God ever got you, buddy? You know the plans you had for your life. You were going to go do this and do that and have this, and but you followed the call of God off to go to Bible college. What's it ever got you? Here you are sitting in the middle of the road, broke down. No one cares. God don't care. All these Mercedes and Corvettes and Cadillacs are blowing their horns and buzzing by me. But can I tell you about that moment the sweet Spirit of God climbed up in the cab of that old Ford truck and he began to talk to me. And he began to remind me, son, I know where you're at. You're right where I want you. You're in the center of my will. And I told the devil to get out of that old Ford truck. And I used to be in good shape. You can't tell it now. But I actually jumped out of that truck and I threw it out of gear because it was a 5-speed. And I pushed my own truck off the side of the road and I was shouting glory. I really was. The tow truck driver guy pulled up. He thought I was crazy. I witnessed to him all the way back to where I was going. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that this man was laying in the ditch. The devil was lying to this man. But I want to climb down the ditch with him and I want to say, hey, Bubba, it's not as bad as it seems. Well, he said, listen, how in the world is it not as bad as it seems? Do you see me? Yeah, we see all of you. I am beaten. I am wounded. I have nothing left. I'm violated. I'm a victim. And you're telling me it's not as bad as it seems? Yeah, Bubba, I'm telling you it's not as bad as it seems because, listen, there's another story in your life. There's another chapter in your book. There's someone coming down the road. And this someone coming down the road, he walks different. He talks different. He is different. And listen, Bubba, you don't know it right now. You're unconscious because you finally slipped into an unconscious state from all of your injuries, but he's getting ready to get down in your ditch with you, and he's not going to leave you like you found you. It's not as bad as it seems. So there he is. The Good Samaritan comes along, and he gets down off his animal, and he begins to bind up his wounds. You see the difference between the Good Samaritan and the Levite and the priest is one word, compassion. He saw exactly what the Levite, the priest saw. He saw all the blood, the gore, all the mess, but what they saw turned their stomach. What he saw moved his heart. And with compassion, he got down in the ditch with this broken man and began to bind up his wounds, begin to wrap and begin to cover and begin to heal. And he began to pour in oil and wine. And as he poured in the oil and the wine to this man, I understand that the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Now, I began to wonder what this wine was all about. Now, mind you, from what I understand, if you drink enough wine, you'll eventually get happy. Now, listen, I'm not here to criticize you. I'm not here to look down on you, but I have never intentionally drank any alcohol. Now, when I say intentionally, we went to Cancun on our anniversary trip. They have these things in Cancun called piña coladas. I don't know Spanish, but I know those piña coladas tasted good, and so I would say to them, virgin. I don't know. I heard what happens in Cancun stays in Cancun. We had a great anniversary trip, let me tell you. So I began to understand, what does this wine have to do? Well, one thing is wine has a healing component, an antiseptic content to it. But I begin to think, where does wine figure into the analogy where Jesus, well, do you remember back when Jesus said, I'm the vine? What happens when you take grapes and you crush them? The extract of grapes becomes what? Wine. When it's fermented, it becomes wine. So Jesus is in the upper room. He's getting there with his disciples. He lifts up the bread. He says, this is my body, right? He breaks the bread, passes it out. He picks up the cup. And he said, this is my blood. How does that work? Well, let me tell you how it works. He's the vine, right? When they squeezed him on Calvary's hill, when they crushed him on Calvary's hill, the blood poured out, the fountain poured out. There's no wound so deep that the blood of Jesus can't heal. There's no hurt so deep that the blood of Jesus can't soothe. And if you drink enough of Jesus, you'll get happy. That's why they used to call us the Noiserines back in the day, in case you were wondering. Because we remember what Jesus did for us. We remember the difference he made in our life. So he got down in this ditch with him. He bound him up. But he didn't leave him there. He took him out of where he was. And he took him to an inn. And when he got there, he told the innkeeper, listen, here's some money. It's not going to cost you anything to work for me. Whatever it costs you, I'm going to pay. And then he said, I'll be back. Okay, preacher, you say that's great, Mark. I love that. That's a pretty good story that you've shared with us. What's that got to do with me? Do you remember where you was when Jesus found you? Do you remember the ditch that you were in, spiritually speaking? The devil was lying to you and telling you no one cared and no one loved you. And God saw what everybody, God saw you just like everybody else, but what he saw turned his heart. And he saw not what you was, but he saw what you could be. And he got off the throne of heaven. And he came and he got down in the ditch with us. And he began to bind up our wounds. What do you mean by that? Well, a year or so ago, I was working in my house and I was running a table saw. Does anybody know what a table saw is? It's a table that has a saw, okay? There's a blade in the middle that spins. It cuts anything you push through it, including fingers. So I put my finger into the blade of that table saw. I immediately jerked it back. I grabbed it. I wouldn't even look at it. I went inside and said, honey, I've cut my finger off. I'm going to the hospital. And so I always heard that if you keep your wound above your heart, it don't bleed as bad. So I held my finger like this for 3 hours. This is no preacher illustration. They laid me down in the hospital bed at Ball. And you know you're bad when you go to Ball Hospital. And I laid down and I held my finger up still like this the whole time. People had to think that was the craziest thing. Of course, where we was at, wouldn't imagine. My thought was, and she was very thankful, because my finger didn't bleed all that bad. It couldn't. All the blood was down here in my elbow. When you see my finger, you don't see the boogered up mess that it was. You see the work of a great physician. When you look at me this morning, you don't realize that this is a mess. Because there was a day I was in the ditch, boogered up, beat up, wounded, violated by sin. But the great good Samaritan, Jesus Christ himself, got off the throne of heaven and went on an old rugged cross and got down in my ditch with me and bound me up in the bloody cords of Calvary. You don't see my shame. You don't see my scars. You don't see my wounds, because there was one who came and bound me up. And what I needed was more than surface religion. What I needed was more than just Sunday go to meeting. I needed some work deep on the inside. So he poured in the Holy Spirit. And he poured in the blood of Jesus Christ. The wine was poured into my life. And that's why I get happy. That's why I raise my hands in church and shout. Because I remember where I was. I remember where I was headed. But blessed be to God, he got down in my ditch with me. And he brought me up out of there. Whew. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. But he didn't leave me there. He bound me up. He poured his life in. Could you imagine now this fella as he's laying there in the inn? Now, you know what an inn is? It's a home away from home while you're heading home. So he's laying there. He finally comes to himself. He looks over and he says, who are you and where am I? And the innkeeper probably says something like this, well, Bubba, The day you rolled in here, you were a mess. You didn't even know you was brought in here. There was people that passed you on the road, but this man came, this good Samaritan came, he picked you up, he brought you in here. Could you imagine that man saying, you know what, tell you what, I'd like to meet that guy. And I'd just like to tell him thanks. The innkeeper with a smile said, don't worry, Bubba. The last thing he said when he hit that door right there is, I'll be back. You know, I think I heard someone else say something about coming back one time in the scripture, amen? Let me tell you something. There we were, hunkered up and bound by sin, but God brought us out, and he's gave us this promise this morning that he's going to come back again. He didn't leave us in the mess we were in. He bound us up. He poured into our lives, and he brought us in. You know what the church is? This is a home away from home while we're on our way home. And so, that's great, Mark. I remember getting saved and what God did for me and all that, but, you know, I've been serving the Lord, and there's been some things recently that is, I just feel like I've been violated. I feel depressed, discouraged. I feel like the enemy's just beat me up. Well, the Holy Spirit told me to get up here and tell you that it's not as bad as it seems. And God has come by this morning to get down in your ditch with you. It doesn't matter what the doctor's saying. It doesn't matter what the lawyer's saying. It doesn't matter what the banker's saying. It doesn't matter what your friends and family are saying. We serve one that knows how to get people out of the ditch and get us moving in the right direction. We serve one that can make the difference. So I've come to tell you this morning, our Bubba or Bubette, whatever you might like, it's not as bad as it seems. There's still hope in the blood. There's still help in Calvary. You say, but preacher, I've come in here today. I only have about that much left. I've only got about that much hope. I've only got about that much faith. I've only got about that much strength. Preacher, if I was just to be honest with you, I'm only half alive. Well, you just answered your own question, friend. You're still alive. And as long as you're alive, God's still alive. And it doesn't matter what they're saying. This God, this all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, all-caring, water-walking, way-making, blind man healing, dead man raising, God that we serve can take care of your situation this morning. Little is much when God is in it. The last time I checked, he don't need very much. He just needs a little bit of flour in the bottom of a barrel. He just needs a little bit of oil in the bottom of the cruise. He just needs a sling and a few smooth stones. He just needs a little boy's lunch with some fishes and some loaves. All he needs is 3 rusty nails and 2 wooden beams. I'm telling you, this God we serve don't need much. You may not have much left, but little is much when God is in it, and he's going to deliver you. I've come to tell you, it's not as bad as it seems. Someone can help you. There's an upside after a downside. There's victory on the other side of being violated. God has a way of deliverance. Your story isn't over. There's another chapter. When he begins to write, and when he begins to heal, things begin to change. It's not as bad as it seems. Hold on. Look up. You're still alive. So now, if we read on down here in this story where Jesus is talking, the question that was posed to him before he went into this story was, who was the neighbor to this man? Jesus does the rhetorical question to them, who do you think the neighbor was? And what's he say? Go and do thou likewise. What's happening here this morning, this is worship. This isn't church. This is worship. You are the church. Go and do thou likewise. Now that God has helped us, and some of us are just getting up out of the ditch, but it's our turn to go out now. There's never been a generation like the age in which we live where there were so many hurting, broken people all around us. And now we have an opportunity to go and be Christ extended and get in the ditch with some bubbas and tell them, listen, it's not as bad as it seems. I know someone that can help you. They're going to need more than Sunday morning go to meeting. They're going to need someone to pour in, someone to bind up. But that's why God has called you, and that's why God has brought all of us together at AFC as one collective army of God. You know why where the Nazarene Church got its name? I'm taking a little history lesson. At the very first gathering of the Church of the Nazarene, they were praying, what do we name this thing? And this fellow stood up and he said, let's call it the Church of the Nazarene. They're like, why? He said, because in the Bible, Jesus is a Nazarene. So we're just like Jesus, of course. But he said, they actually said in Scripture, nothing good comes from Nazareth. He said, we want to be Nazarenes because we want those that no one else wants. We want the broken. We want the hurting. We want to run a rescue ship 10 yards from the gate of hell. And so it's our turn, church, to rise up with this message, this life-transforming message. It's transformed your life. It's transforming your life, and it can transform your neighbors. It can transform your enemies. It can transform your in-laws. It can transform everybody around this power, this gospel message of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not as bad as it seems. So let's rise up, and let's go forth from this place, and let's win a world for God. Tell them the good news of our Savior. There's hope in the blood. And then you can drop him on this one. He's coming back someday. You say, well, how can I do that, preacher? Well, here at this church, we're not open on Mondays, but 6 days a week we're open. Hundreds of people pour through that door right there that are broken and boogered up by sin. When I showed up here, I'm going to share this. When I showed up here, there was one individual I noticed real quickly. Several people. We have a lot of hard workers around here, so I'm not leaving anybody out. But this one person in particular, not being a preacher, I would see this individual, broken people would come through, and this individual would just like latch on. And they would start pouring in. I was like, a few weeks ago, that individual pulled back some of the bandage, told me their story. Then it all made sense. I was seeing what they were seeing, but they were feeling the pain. They were seeing the tears. And they were going and getting in the ditch with them. And at AFC, crowd, we have a great opportunity as God is using this church, using our pastor, using this people to reach this community. I say, let's go and do that likewise. And let's share this life-transforming message with this whole world. There's hope in the blood. It's not as bad as it seems. Someone can help you. If you're here this morning, you're hurting. You've been violated some way. I've come to tell you, it's not as bad as it seems. You're still alive, and God is going to help you. The same God, I want you to get a hold of this as we go. You know what a preacher says in closing? You know what that means? It means nothing. It's not as bad as it seems. God's going to help you and deliver you. And the same God that said, let there be light, and the light switch came on. The same God that said, Red Sea, roll back. Manna fell from heaven. It's the very same God that we're serving this morning. We haven't had an election. There isn't a new God on the throne. It's the same God. Go from this place with your head held high. You're a child of the living God. And it's going to work out because God said so, and that settles it. Father, we're so thankful for your love and your mercy. I'm thankful in my life that moment you came and you got down in the ditch with me. I'm thankful for the promise that you're going to come back and take me home. But while we're on this road of life, there's some moments, there's some pain, there's some hurt. And maybe there's some people here this morning. The doctors told him something, the lawyers told him something, the banker, family, the devil's lying to him. But I pray right now that you would just push back the power of hell in the name of Jesus. And you would just scoop them up in your arms of love and mercy and grace. And remind them that it's going to be okay. It's not as bad as it seems. And that you're going to help them. For what you do, we're going to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Lord's Day.